Listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunnath Cheesh, Chawa, Tuxiknusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us on our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive. or on KTOO's YouTube and Instagram pages. Today, June is Pride Month and summer is here. Summer Christensen, that is. Although summer is also here in Juneau, we preview a few of the events that are happening this month, sponsored by Sigla. The Juneau Douglas City Museum's Kate Ross is here to talk wild joys and other goings-on at the museum. Juneau Youth Sailing Summer Day Camp is back. We get all the details on this camp for 12 to 17-year-olds happening in June and July. And the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council is here to preview First Friday and beyond. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juneau Afternoon. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. You are listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram. Welcome to June. It is June. It's June 4th, and already Pride Month is in full swing. Sigla, the Southeast Alaska LGBTQ Plus Alliance, is hosting a bevy of events throughout the month, and we are here with Summer Christensen to get a preview of the next couple weeks of happenings, and then Summer's going to come back and join us mid-month, and we'll round it out because there's just too much to talk about. Gunnath Cheesh, ha igudi. Thank you so much, Summer. It's a pleasure to see you. Was iati. How are you doing today?
Good. Gunnath Cheesh, for having me. I'm excited to be here, excited to talk about all these events.
Yeah, so happy Pride, and I know that you got kicked off this weekend on Sunday, and then last night you had like a button making.
Yeah, we had our first queer craft of the month. That was button making at Forbidden Peak, and I heard there was about 30 people who showed up to Forbidden Peak and made buttons. So many people showed up that we completely ran out of the button making supplies. So.
Well, that's a good sign.
Very excited.
And of course, you can find all the information and follow Sigla at AKSigla. That's AKSEAGLA.org. They also have a Facebook page.
Yes, we have a Facebook and we have an Instagram. I believe our Instagram is the_Sigla.
Yeah.
And you can find us. We have our Pride logo for 2025, which has some wildflowers and skunk cabbage with some extra tufts. So if you see that, that's the right one.
A very Juno.
Yeah.
Very Juno logo for Pride Month. That's awesome. So now looking at this calendar, which I'll put up for those on the stream as well, and you can also find this on their Facebook page, and there's also a really cool tiny URL that that Summer made for us. It's tinyurl.com/3WMCHS6. apostrophe. I'm not sure why tinyurl uses apostrophe in there, but also if you just search Juno Sigla and Pride, you'll probably see it. But this calendar is packed with events, so let's go over a couple of the ones that are coming up. There's two things happening today.
Yeah, so in about an hour and a half, I'll meet everybody at the dog park. We're gonna have a dog park party. I got these adorable little rainbow bandanas to put on the dogs.
Nice.
And then we're gonna have a game night at the library, so that'll be from 6 to 8 at the Mendenhall Library. It'll be a potluck event, too, so you can bring something to share, but we'll have snacks for everyone as well as some free swag, and I'm bringing, like, a huge tub of board games with me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then nothing, surprisingly nothing on Thursday.
You're taking a day off?
Yeah. And then on Friday, if you head out to Auk Rec, there is a bonfire and potluck, so lots of swag. We'll have activities out there. And then...
That's awesome. Let me ask this question, just get this out there, because we've talked about this before on the show, but I just want to make sure that people know this, that... This is for Pride Month, but everyone is welcome to most of these events, right?
Yeah, looking at the calendar, everyone's welcome. So this year we're trying to push really hard for community allies are definitely welcome, as well, obviously, as LGBTQ folks. I'm looking at the calendar. The only one probably where we'd ask that ally sit out, obviously, would be the trans pool party, which is towards the end of the month. And then the queer coffee and conversation for Father's Day. That one is on Father's Day, and that's more for queer people who maybe don't have the best relationship with their dad, and they just want to be in community that day.
I see. Tough. So really just those two events, the queer coffee and conversation, and then you mentioned, we'll talk about this again in a couple of weeks, but the party and the pool, the trans pool party. Okay, that makes sense. But otherwise, community welcome, allies welcome to all these different events. I just wanted to put that out
there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And so we'll have the bonfire on Friday. And so if you can't make it right at 5:30, it goes till 8:00. So just make your way out and we'll be people there. And then I'm really excited. So Segla is not running the Zach Gordon Youth Pride. That's the Zach Gordon. But Segla will be there with merch, and then I'll be giving a short speech. So that's always a really fun event if you have kids or teenagers.
Yeah, if you're looking at this calendar, anything in purple is events that Segla is supporting, but not necessarily you're putting on, but you're supporting it because it's part of Pride Month and you want to get the word out about these events as well. So that includes the Zach Gordon Youth Pride on Saturday.
Yeah, and I'm even looking at this, and this we're missing a few events from the community that we got after we made the print. So that QR code at the top, if you get one of these flyers, or you can find the link on our social media, I'm updating that regularly. So if people come in from the community and they're like, oh no, I didn't make it in time, I update that.
Yeah, because I see one next week from Friday that we'll talk about, but that is in purple, the Indigiqueer Social Club. That's on the one I have on screen, but not on the print one. So it's best to get that QR code, keep updated. There's also the Google Doc, which is going to be updated continually throughout the month as well. And I'm sure you're linking to that on your socials, and as well as this tiny URL, which I'll share on the webpage for today as well.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we're going to have family fun at Capitol Park. So that's from 11 to 1. And that same thing. It's for youth, for families to come out. We have some kids swag and activities. And then we are partnering with Planned Parenthood and having Salim is going to be running the queer craft zine making at the Mendenhall Library on Tuesday the 10th. Every Wednesday, so the 11th, we're having a dog park party again.
So dog park every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, yeah.
And that's at 4:30 in the afternoon. And which dog park?
That's at the Cope Park.
Cope Park downtown. And it's always the same one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
great. Yeah. And then brand new this year, we have the one-shot D&D campaign night.
Ooh, what's that going to be?
I have a couple friends who are going to be dungeon masters, and they'll... it's going to be RSVP, so you're going to want to go to our website to make sure you can RSVP, and the RSVP link is not up yet, so check in a couple days.
Okay.
But yeah, you'll show up, they'll have pre-made characters for you to use, and then it's just a one-time playthrough.
Okay, yeah, like one-shot campaign just that night, you don't have to continue on.
Mm-hmm.
Your character lives or dies.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the 12th, on Thursday the 12th, we have a pop-up with Dara at the Alaskan. So it's going to be sapphic songs.
Oh, Dara Relatos, awesome, who performed here on Juno Afternoon during Folk Fest. Mm-hmm. Wonderful singer. And where's that going to be at on the 12th?
That'll be at the Alaskan.
The Alaskan.
So that'll be a fun one to come out. We'll have probably some swag out, but really it's... just to watch her perform.
Yeah,
she's incredible.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then it's not on the calendar that I have in front of me.
Right.
But we have the Indigenous Queer events at the Crystal, and I believe the times, I'm not sure about those yet. So I'm going to update that in that Google Sheets when I can figure it out.
When you can figure that out. And that'll be cool, though. And if you can see it here, the way it's spelled, you might be able to Google it, too, and find that it's a little, it's spelled I-N-D-I-G-I-K apostrophe W-E-R-E. So Indigenous Queer Social Club.
That's how you spell that. I would also check the Crystal's website.
Oh, the Crystal probably would have that.
They're pretty good about updating their events.
Yeah, just Google Crystal Saloon Juno and you'll find that there.
Yeah, and then there's another one that's not on here that I just added today to the Google Sheets, and that'll be at the Planetarium on the 13th.
Oh, Friday the 13th, okay.
Yeah, and I guess they're doing like a fun dance, and so they'll have like a light show going,
and fun. It's
all ages from 6:30 to 8:30, I believe.
Okay.
And I believe it's free, but they're asking for donations.
Okay, so. Great.
On the 14th at Outer Coast on Douglas, we're going to do some morning pride tide pooling. So that'll be at 9:30 until when people feel like they're done. And then Trail Mix is doing their pride trail maintenance at the Black Bear Trail. And they wanted to let people know that it's from 9 to 3, but they don't expect people to be there the whole time. It's kind of just a drop in and help out if you can.
Oh, okay, on the Black Bear Trail.
Yeah.
On the 14th on Saturday, 9 to 3, anytime in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Queer Coffee and Conversation for Father's Day. That'll be from 2 to 4 at the Lodestone Library. So we did that for Mother's Day, and we wanted to do it for Father's Day as well.
How was the Mother's Day conversation?
Well, it was tricky because that was the only sunny day we had had in about 100 years. So
right.
We did have a couple people show up, but
yeah.
It was just too sunny to be indoors.
I see. Yeah. I understand. It's hard to get. When we had so much rain there.
I know.
And I've been gone for a couple weeks, but I don't know how the weather has been. Has it just been rainy?
Yep.
Yeah, just been standard Juno?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think two more to mention. So on the 16th Monday, I'm going to be teaching my creative writing class, which I normally do at the library. But this time it's going to be creative writing for the queers in a potluck.
Okay.
Allies are welcome. We're going to be looking at some LGBTQ writing, do some writing prompts, and just be in community and write together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so that'll be from 6 to 8, Mendenhall Library. And then on the 17th, we're going to do queer crafting, so a tie-dye event at the Zach Gordon, because they have a great outdoor space for tie-dye. And that'll be from 4 to 6.
Now,
so,
speaking of tie-dye, notice mm-hmm. that part of you have a bonfire store that people can order some stuff from, some T-shirts or whatever, and it has the logo that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's created with the boots and the stuff and the trees and all that. And one of them is a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, so you could buy it now and then wear it to the tie-dye event.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Right? That'd be a way to go. That's kind of cool. But you can find out that information on their website. Of course, this is all from Segla, which is AKSEAGLA.org. It's AKSEAGLA.org. They have a Instagram, the_Segla, which I'm sure is updated as much as can be. I know you also have a bunch of flyers for almost each event
mm-hmm.
that are available on the socials. And you also have a Facebook page, right?
Yes, we do. Anything that I post on Facebook or on Instagram goes to the Facebook.
We'll get onto Facebook as well, so you can find it all in there. And of course, there's on the 18th. I know you're going to come back on the 18th and give us the rest of the month. But there's another dog walk party that day, and there's also P Flag Talk with Jordan Nigro,
mm-hmm.
which is in purple. So that means it's not one of your events, but it's happening.
Yeah. And I believe they're pretty excited about that. So
yeah, that's cool.
That should be good. One thing I just want to say is that all of these events, except maybe the one-shot D&D, since it is a RSVP, we might have people like pay a ticket of $3 to $5.
Right.
But other than that, all of these events are free. And Segla is a completely volunteer-run organization. So all the things that you're seeing It's all nonprofit, all run by volunteers. And so this year we're trying to push for asking for a bit of donations if people have the funds. You can find a donation at our website. It takes you to a PayPal. And really all that money does is just go straight back into the community.
Absolutely. Summer Christensen from SIGLA here, previewing some Pride events. SIGLA is the Southwest Alaska LGBTQ plus Alliance. Summer, thanks so much. We'll see you in a couple weeks. And hopefully you're not too tired by then with all these
Never.
Events, because it's almost every day, which is wild. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinok John Martin, and the word this week is Shaw.
Shaw.
That means mountain. And here is a sentence.
Kunach atsiti ya tlingit ya uchja. New city, yesha.
It's really something. For the Tlingit, the mountains are a wind fortress. Let's hear it again.
Shaw.
Mountain. Gunas Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinok John Martin was Akdain Tan and a child of a Kagwan Tan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe and attended Gonzaga University.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host. You can also join us on KTOO's Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram pages and watch the live stream behind the scenes. And you can see Kate Rosk and her in her lovely mask with flowers and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a living and live exhibit is continuing over at the Juno Douglas City Museum. It's called Wild Joys, Creating Community Through the Performing Arts. That and so much more happening this summer. And as I mentioned, Kate Ross joins me now. Gwyneth Chi, Shot Yigudi, thank you so much. Wasiyati, how are you, Kate?
I'm good. I'm getting over some crud. So, you know, just taking a little extra care and wearing a mask for another extra few days.
Understand that. I hear I missed the big spreader event, so I'm glad that I did that. But I still have a sinus infection,
yeah,
so
of course.
It's all good. It's just that time of year
we're
all
best.
Sick.
We love it.
It's so good. So tell me more about this. We talked about it when it kicked off, but this Wild Joys Creating Community Through the Performing Arts. This is, I said it's a living exhibit because there's things that are happening. People are performing and getting up and doing monologues and singing and whatever, right?
Whatever. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So part of the exhibit, we have a little stage, an actual physical stage, and the backdrop behind it looks like the auditorium. So you can really pretend and live out your wildest fantasies of, you know, the largest auditorium in Juno of being on stage. But yeah, we have it as a, we're bringing the exhibit to life with these performances. And so all throughout the summer, a couple times a month, we will have these live performances. We have a whole mixed bag of types of performances, a lot of music, some dance, some theater, all sorts of fun stuff. And so that'll be every first Friday this summer, as well as some Thursdays sprinkled in. And we're still looking for performers to sign up. So if you want to come and join us and share a little bit of your performance art with the community, you can sign up on our website.
So you are doing this on the first Fridays, which we will be talking about First Friday today as well with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. And I want to mention that in July, the first Friday is actually on a Thursday, right?
Yeah, because so we're skipping that first Friday.
You're skipping that one because
we will
it's
be
the
closed.
Holiday.
Yeah, we'll be closed on the holiday, but we have some Thursday lunch hour performances as well.
I see. And you can get the whole calendar on the website, mm-hmm. right? And that's juno.org/museum where you can go for that. Now, what is this exhibit about?
It's really, really fun. It has tangible objects. It has posters from decades worth of events in town. It has costume pieces. It has playbills and dance cards from, you know, close to 100 years ago. Makeup from old theater companies in town.
What?
Photos from contemporary theater companies and dance companies. It's really just spanning the gamut of performing arts in Juneau. So it's really, it's focusing on the historical aspect as opposed to more contemporary. But of course, we do have photos and things from kind of the more modern stuff as well. But it's really cool, the amount of different objects and costume pieces and... Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That is really fun. And it is playing for a while, right?
Yeah, this is our big summer exhibit. So it will be up all the way until mid-October. So you have a lot of opportunities to come see it.
But and to perform.
And to perform, exactly. And that whole schedule of performances is on our website. So if you're downtown on a Thursday lunch hour on one of these, pop over for, you know, a little 15, 30-minute performance break in the middle of your day. But this first Friday, we have three different types of performances happening.
Okay.
So this Friday, we are free from 4 to 6 because in the summer we have paid admission, but we still have free hours on every first Friday.
Okay.
So 4 to 6 is free admission. 4:30 to 5:30, roughly, in there, in the middle of first Friday time, we have Christine Wick playing guitar and doing some singing. We have Daughters of the New Moon doing belly dancing. And then we have a couple members of the Empty Oil Barrel Band.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Going to sing and, do some of their satirical songs.
Oh, all right. So that is available. And I do want to make sure that people know this, right, that anybody who wants to get up, it's any age, really, probably. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also, you don't have to be a seasoned performer. This is your opportunity to play, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And so these, we're calling them quote-unquote open mic performance hours.
Okay.
So if you show up on the day, we may or may not have room. So the best way to do it is to send us an email or fill out the form that's on the website. But yeah, it's open to anybody, any ability levels. If you have some kind of a performing art something that you want to share with the community, we'd love to see it.
That's really cool. I like that. And again, that's the Wild Joys Creating Community Through the Performing Arts. It's on exhibit through October, and you can perform in it as you might want to. And what else is going on over there at the City Museum?
Well, now that it is officially June, and now that session wrapped up in record time, I think.
A day early, even.
We have our Capitol tours kicking off. Those are going to be daily, just a couple in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. We have our historical downtown walking tours, and then we have all of our specialty walking tours. The next one is actually this Saturday is the downtown geology tour. We have a Death in Douglas tour, a true crime walking tour the week after that.
And that is with Ed Schoenfeld and Betsy Longenbaugh. Mm-hmm. And if you missed it a couple weeks ago, we did a rainy day conversation with Betsy Longenbaugh all about these murders in the capital city. It's a full hour-long conversation with Betsy about how they found all this information. And she's written a couple books. You can go back on our website and find that.
Yeah, they're fascinating stories. Yeah. So you can get kind of a little walking tour with those stories. And then we have a cemetery tour as well in the end of June. And all of these tours are offered once a month. So if they fill up this month, you can go next month. But we recommend calling ahead of time and signing up.
Are they free?
They're not free. These ones are paid walking tours.
Okay.
But with that paid ticket, you also get admission to the museum and 20% off in the museum store. So it's a pretty good deal. You make a little whole afternoon of it. Do your tour, check out the museum, see what's new.
Right. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And that is, there's so many walking tours. Wow.
We have a lot. And really, if you're interested in those schedules or the performance schedules for this summer, our website is a great resource. We have all of those schedules posted. You can find out more information about each of the walking tours as well. And then our other big thing we have going on this summer is our social impact study. You can sign up and come visit the museum for free 3 times and bring a guest if you sign up to be part of this study.
And is that this shaping the future of the city museum?
Yeah, so we were chosen to be a participant in this larger study. And so we are looking at our museum's social impact. All that really means for you as a patron of the museum is that you get to come for free, and at the end you fill out a survey about how you used the museum, how your visits may have differed from time to time, what you think we could be doing differently, how your experience was in general. So it's a cool thing to take part in.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And of course, as you mentioned, admission is free on first Fridays.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's a pretty affordable thing to take your guests and who come to Juno to go take them down to the City Museum, have a little history. Make your guests get up on stage and perform.
There you go. And take a selfie, too. If you sit on the little box, we have spike tape of the right place to sit.
Oh.
And you take a selfie, and then you can tell everyone that you were on stage at the auditorium. And it's technically true because you are on stage and picture of the auditorium.
Because you have the auditorium in the background. I love that. Okay. And remind us of the hours of the museum.
The hours right now, we are in full swing summer hours, open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Awesome. Okay, cool. And Kate Ross, is that everything that's happening?
I think that's everything. It's a lot. Just a couple things.
Just a few things. Tons of walking tours, a big giant exhibit that you can even perform at if you want. Mm-hmm. Go learn the history of the creative community here in Juneau, the performing arts community. It's been it's amazing. And I love that there's so much history to it.
There's so much, and it's really incredible. And some of the costumes that we have are really fun to see. And take a trip down memory lane with those posters, too. You might be, oh, yeah, I remember that one I went to when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's kind of fun. Or you go, oh, that's the one my dad was in. Or, oh, that's the one my mom was in.
Or here's a little Easter egg that I challenge everyone to try and find. Find the poster that has a signature of Buddy Tabor on it.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of fun.
Okay. Kate Ross from the City Museum. You can find everything at juno.org/museum. Gunnith Cheesh for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Gunnith Cheesh.
Okay, up next, we will talk with Juno Youth Sailing about their summer camp, but first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. It started with two Arctic Air freezers that hitched a ride from Seattle on an Alaska Marine Lines barge. If these two appliances, boasting temps of negative 15 degrees and equipped to store 800 pounds of frozen goods, had known they were about to make history, they might have kept a journal. Day one. Can't see anything. We're shrink-wrapped on a pallet, still inside our boxes. At least we're together. Day six. In Sitka now, in a warehouse on Lincoln Street, plugging in and humming. Not sure what the plan is, but we're no longer surrounded by cardboard. We're really thinking outside the box now. Ha. Day 21. That's more like it. We're stuffed to the gills with 50-pound boxes of seafood. Nothing a freezer likes more than a full stomach. Time for a nap. Day 28. Someone keeps removing boxes and replacing them with bags of vacuum-packed halibut, lingcod, rockfish. Half share, full share. Day 30. The warehouse is hopping. Each time footsteps approach, our lids open to excited voices. What an incredible service. I've never been able to afford halibut. How should I cook this lingcod? Day 90. It's been a busy summer. Salmon started showing up last week. We're still not sure what's going on, but it appears to involve seafood sales. More to come. Day 120. We finally figured it out. We're part of Alaska's first community-supported fishery, a subscription program that offers monthly shares of wild seafood. We're famous. Why are we always the last to know? 15 years later, retirement isn't so bad. The two of us are holding frozen goods for a couple of families now. Still lots of fish, but also venison and bags of wild blueberries. Apparently, the new warehouse freezers are bigger, colder, and have better seals. Blah, blah, blah. We're happy right here telling war stories. It might be about time to write that memoir. find the full recipe for seafood chowder from Alaska's first community-supported fishery program at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short-Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on the live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram pages behind the scenes. And once in a while, people join us via the virtual video cam on the live stream. And today, that is Carl Broderson. Juno Youth Sailing is celebrating its 28th season of Sailing for Kids. And this also continues their summer day camps for kids 12 to 17. And welcome, Carl, for a look at the summer and exciting news on the group's fleet. Gunath Chi, Sha'igudi, thank you so much for joining us. Carl, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. How are my levels?
I can hear you perfectly. So that's awesome. Oh, I love
thank
it when
so
a
much.
Plan comes together.
Right?
Yeah, you're feeling a little under the weather, as are we all. And so we're happy to have you join us virtually for this chat about the Juno Youth Sailing. So tell me a little bit about first, what is Juno Youth Sailing and how has it been around for 28 years?
It's been around for 28 years because we have very dedicated volunteers who keep it going and are bad at ever moving off the board after the end of a term. Excuse me.
That would be you, right?
I was alluding to myself, but I didn't want to be so bold as to mention that, yes. Like any nonprofit in town, we have a wonderful group of people who are keeping it going far longer than they ever intended to initially. It's a small, wonderful program in Juneau that teaches kids how to sail for 2 months in the summer, the good 2 months. And it's just a wonderful opportunity and great way for kids to get outside and learn about sailing and also marine safety in general.
And so I want to point this out because I think this is really important. This is all volunteer run. There's no paid staff.
The people who teach the courses are paid because they're there, you know, 40 hours a week.
Sure.
Most of them are former students. But yeah, the running, the administration, all of that absolutely is entirely by volunteers.
All the behind the scenes stuff.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. All
absolutely.
Of the endless emails.
And when do classes begin?
The first class was yesterday.
Okay.
So typically we do June and July. Maybe we spill into August a little bit, depending on how the school schedules work. But it's the two key summer months. We do 8 weeks.
8 weeks. And are there different weekly patterns in terms of like, I'm not too late to sign up?
Oh, no, absolutely not. There's still, we have, you know, levels 1, 2, and 3 going from total beginners to advanced. There are still room available farther into the summer in level 1 and 2 and level 3 classes. So anybody who wants to start thinking about it now can sign up wherever they need to.
Okay, because these are how long? I'm seeing here in the notes, it's 4 day, all day classes. So each session is 4 full days. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And what kind of things am I going to be? Well, it's not going to be me because I'm past the age requirement. This is for 12 to 17 year olds. So it's youth sailing. That's why it's called Juno's Youth Sailing. And
yep.
Of course you can go to junoyouthsailing.org for all of the information, the full dates, the full calendar, all that kind of stuff and get your kiddos signed up for this. So you mentioned there's a beginner, intermediate and sort of a more advanced class or something. People who've done it before perhaps. So people who might have any interest in it, at least even an inkling, they can still get involved because there's a beginner course. What kind of things do I learn in the beginner course?
The very first day of the beginner course, we show you a couple of YouTube videos that talk about how to write a capsized boat, because I guarantee that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And then we go down to the dock and you do a swim test, which has really nothing to do with your ability to swim. The real question is whether or not you panic when you get into the water.
Say that one more time. If you what?
Sorry, the kids will jump into the water and they're supposed to swim the length of the dock. We're not actually looking for whether or not they can swim because you're in a full dry suit with a PFD at that point. You can float, no problem. What we're really looking for is whether or not the kids panic when they go into the water.
Panic, okay.
That's, That's what we're looking for. And the reason for that, of course, is that most of us grew up here taught to fear the water that we live around because it is so cold. But we have to put kids in dry suits, which means that they can go into the water without real consequence for the first time in their lives. And once they're over that initial trepidation, it's all we can do to keep them in the boats. It just turns into swim class.
That's so fun. And and then do you learn, what kind of boats are you learning in? Is this like all different kinds of boats or a specific kind of boat?
We have one very specific kind of boat. It's called a Club 420, so named because it is 4.2 meters long, not for any other reason. And two people go in them. There's a person who steers and there's a person who crews up front. What's really nice about these boats is that they can handle little kids all the way up to adults so that we can try to have adult involvement from time to time. And the main thing about them is that when they capsize, notice I say when, it's easy to right them because of the way that they're designed and the flotation that they have inside of them.
I see. So you're saying it's like a two-person boat, but it's not a kayak, though.
Oh, no. It's a boat. You look at that and you say, that is a boat.
Okay. All right. So that's a boat, but it's a two-seater, basically. So it's not a bunch of kids in one boat. Do sometimes the advanced kids go with the beginner kid and they're teaching them different things and things like that?
Exactly, yes. For the introductory courses, we have older students who are volunteer junior instructors one of them will go in every boat with the kids who are brand new, because sailing is about handling 1,000 variables at once and driving something the size of a car with kids who've probably too young to even have their learner's permits. And so it is really nice. Yeah, really nice to have somebody who has done this before to go along with you for your first couple days. But after that, you're on your own.
Interesting. Okay, that's kind of cool. And I could take one 4-day class or I could take multiple. Like, can I go beginner, intermediate, advanced throughout the course of the summer? Or how does that work?
It is possible to go 1, 2, 3 in a row like that. The older students are a bit more able to do that. But the reality is that 4 days just isn't enough time to practice. You can get all the material taught to you, but you still need to go out there and actually get good at it. And so we highly recommend that all course levels be taken more than once, especially that level one course.
And you can repeat it throughout the summer if you want to.
Oh, yeah. You could take all the level ones if you wanted to. We've got some people who like sailing so much, they will go, they're in level three courses now. Occasionally, they'll go back and take a level two just to get the extra time on the water.
I see. Okay. And I mentioned these are 4 days. Is it specific days during the week or does it cover the weekend? How does that work?
Yeah, during the week. We're the cheapest babysitting in town, I believe.
Oh, I see. Okay. And how much are classes for this kind of a thing?
Classes are $300 for the 4 days. And we also have scholarships available. Just ask, full ride.
Okay, so you can, and how do we get information on that? Obviously, we can, is there a contact info at junoyouthsailing.org?
There is. Everything is written out extensively. I made the website, and I am a shamefully verbose person, and so it's just pages and pages of text. We have a very good FAQ that has answered almost every question I've ever been emailed separately. There's tons of information there. You can learn everything that you need to do, or of course, just drop us a line. I'd be happy to answer questions in the email.
I love that. And these are all taking place at the Yacht Club, the Juno Yacht Club.
Yes. And I have to point out, they're a completely separate organization from us. We're a small 501c3 nonprofit. They are the Juno Yacht Club. And they very generously donate space in their building to us to hold these classes, which is an incredible gift that they provide.
I see. Okay. Now, in your notes to me beforehand, you teased that there has been some upgrades to the fleet, the multi-year process of getting upgrades to the fleet. What can you share about that?
We're not quite ready for the big announcement yet because the new boats are not in Juno yet. And we don't want to count eggs until they're in the basket. But
right,
we hopefully have very big and tremendous news about finally replacing our boats, which are literally falling apart. Because they're so old and it's what they do. Fiberglass stored outside over winter doesn't last that long. But next year should be the first year with all brand new boats. And you can imagine 8 identical vessels, boat number one with sail number one and spot number one, all in a row numerically. I mean, I can't think of anything more beautiful than that.
That's going to be lovely. And so how many boats are there total?
Eight.
Okay. So that limits the number. I'm just trying to get people understanding that if they want to get involved, classes probably fill up. And
they do.
Yeah.
We're currently limited to 12 because we have to keep two boats in reserve because the old ones break often enough that we need to have another one on the dock ready to go while the others are getting repaired. Next year and in future years, we're hoping that we can go up to class sizes of 16, which is actually where we started at back in the early 90s. But that need to keep boats in reserve for emergencies has reduced the class size.
Because not only are you the organizer and the website maker, you're probably off on the shore repairing the boats as well.
I have done that in the past. I have done that yesterday, but that's one of the areas where we actually have really good backup. We've got two boat dads, Dan and Neil, who've done a tremendous job of keeping everything going. Because we also have three boats with outboards that have to be maintained. Those are the safety boats that the instructors use on the water. So I'm really appreciative of all of their efforts for keeping this program going. I probably would have rage quit years ago if not for them.
Yeah, and that's nice. It is nice to have a volunteer crew and people who are willing to put in that extra effort and make sure that things are upkept and all that kind of stuff. So that's really cool. It's the Juno Youth Sailing. You can find more information at junoyouthsailing.org. I think we covered it. Did we miss anything, Carl? I just want to make sure we got all the details in there.
Could I just, big thanks to the taxpayers of Juneau. We do get support through Parks and Rec Youth Activities Grant, and we've also gotten great support year after year from the Juneau Community Foundation and the Douglas Dornan Foundation. For the new boat fleet, we'll have a very long list of wonderful people to release as soon as those are here and we can make that big announcement. So thank you to everyone who has supported us.
Absolutely. Awesome. It's Carl Broderson, one of the many organizations that he's on a board of. It's junoyouthsailing.org. Get your kids involved for this summer. Classes for kids 12 through 17, and you can get all the details on the classes. They basically are starting now and running through the end of July. Thank you so much, Carl. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Gwyneth Cheesh. Okay. Up next, we are going to take a listen to this week's Curious Juno. And this week's Curious Juno is all about where do the eagles go in the wintertime?
On a sunny morning at the Lemon Creek landfill, Steve Lewis, a wildlife biologist at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, walks through the wetland toward the line of trees surrounding the dump. Bald eagles are squabbling over a big, salmon-colored plastic bag. They congregate here to eat. He counts more than 20 eagles swooping around the trash piles.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because it's basically like an unnatural occurrence that mimics natural occurrence. Like this is pretty similar to what you might see at the Chilcat.
He's talking about the Chilcat Bald Eagle Preserve in Haines, where thousands of bald eagles from all over Southeast go in the winter. They feast on a late fall run of chum salmon. But that's not where they all go. So where do Juno's bald eagles go in the winter? And what do they eat? KTOO listener Mark Branson wants to know. On this episode of Curious Juno, I spoke to the folks with answers. To know where they go, we first have to figure out what they eat. Here's Lewis again.
Eagles eat a lot of fish and they eat a lot of waterfowl. Those are probably the two big things, but you know, they'll eat like things at the dump here.
He outfits the birds with little GPS backpacks to track their movements. He says bald eagles go where the food is, including hooligan and salmon runs, areas where waterfowl hang out, places they can scavenge dead animals, and yes, landfills. How far they travel for a meal depends on whether they're thinking about having eaglets. Those planning on being parents don't go far.
We have birds that stay here all year. There's territorial birds that have nests.
Hundreds of bald eagles stick around Juno through the winter, Lewis estimates. They feed on what they can find nearby, so they don't lose their nest to a thief come springtime when they're ready to mate and have babies. But Lewis says not all eagles are interested in breeding. Those birds travel, often to Haines and further, too.
There's adults that are not territorial, call them floaters. They have a little bit less affinity to necessarily staying in one place.
Since bald eagles can live around 30 years, he reckons the floaters probably don't feel a sense of urgency about reproducing. Instead, they can wait until the conditions feel right and roam along the coast and up rivers in the meantime. Lewis estimates that 30 to 40% of adult bald eagles in Southeast are floating in a given year.
And then there's immature birds as well.
The juveniles have splotchy brown feathers all over until they develop white head and tail plumage at around 4 years old. Lewis says they float too. Many floaters visit the Chilkat Valley near Haines, where an odd upwelling of warm water allows a late fall run of chum salmon to spawn. The salmon provide a feast for thousands of bald eagles starting in November. Reba Hilton is the tourism director for Haines. She says locals call it the council grounds, since there are so many white heads poking through the trees, like wigged legislators of old. She says the eagles are most active in the morning.
And they're still lazy. I mean, there's plenty of food to go around, but they'll still try and come in and take each other's food, so you get a lot of squawking that happens.
But they don't just fly to Haines. Some bald eagles that Lewis tagged in Juneau, Sitka, and the Chilkat Valley have traveled as far north as the Peel River in Yukon Territory and as far south as Vancouver Island, British Columbia. He says their movement patterns look as if he put GPS tags on his friends.
The church would be important for some, and the bar is important for some, and the library is important for some, and, you know, it's all sort of different. I'm like, well, eagles are kind of that way, I guess.
And for some bald eagles, the dump is important. In Juneau, some people call the national bird a trash bird. Lewis has heard that one.
The dump buzzard, yeah.
Do people seem to revere them less when they're surrounded by them?
I think that's probably true. I mean, I've heard that a lot over here. They're like, oh, they're just like, you know, they're like crows, they're like pigeons.
Lewis still finds them impressive, though, no matter where they like to hang out. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
Hanson Gress, ka eat with the shoe yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak, gunish cheesh.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, June 4th, and on this day in 1957, Douglas residents reported that a local family of black bears were objecting to progress. The bears had emerged from hibernation around an old dairy barn to find the area being carved up in preparation for building a new school there. Residents said the bears lurked in the nearby forest and apparently did not like it one bit and viewed the progress with a baleful glare and hurt feelings. That's a look back at this day in 1957.
And that's Mike Lane with this On the Day segment. You can catch Mike Lane every morning during Morning Edition on KTOO from about 5 to 9 in the morning. Thanks, Mike. You're listening to Community Sport at Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org, plus live streaming on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm like Roy Kent. I'm Boston Christopher. This is the first week of June, which means another First Friday and a wonderful chance to visit with Rochelle Bonnet from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Councils and get the lowdown on all the goodness coming up. Gunnith Chi, Sha Yigidi, thank you so much, Rochelle, for coming in on this wonderful Wednesday. How are you? Wasi'iti.
Doing well.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And let's just get this out of the way right now because I want to just mention it.
Yeah.
This Friday is happening.
Correct.
Next month, Friday's 4th of July. So
that's
what happens?
Right. So for next month, we are going to be moving the First Friday festivities to Thursday, July 3rd, in the same time frame, you know, 4 to 7-ish. So great opportunity for folks to come down, check out some art, and then, you know, maybe
go to the fireworks.
Yeah, go to the fireworks. Go catch
dinner.
A bite to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make an evening of it.
Exactly.
I think that's really cool. Get your art in, get your belly full, watch some fireworks, do all the things. That sounds good. So, and that's because people who might be scheduling or want to get into your calendar,
yes,
they need to know that it's on the Thursday, July 3rd.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we're about to put out a PSA on our social media accounts, and I've been communicating with some folks. But if for some reason you haven't gotten word of that, just note we will be doing it on the 3rd of July.
Okay, cool. But this First Friday, what do we got going on?
Oh, we have a lot of different things. I counted. We have 16 events going on around town.
Woo.
Yeah, it's a pretty busy month. We have everything from art shows to live music to a dance party over at Juno Makerspace.
Okay.
They did that last month. They're doing it again this month, and there's going to be some different dance lessons and whatnot. And of course, we have a new show over at the Jack. It's Portable Southeast. That's the traveling art exhibit program that we started a couple years back.
Yeah.
So this is the second round of that. And it just left Skagway this week. It came here and it goes to Ketchikan next month.
Oh, that's awesome. I know. Yeah. I remember talking about this when it kicked off a couple years ago. And it basically travels around like all different places in Southeast, right? Like 10 different communities?
It travels. So this year it's traveling to 7 different communities.
Seven, okay.
Last time it went to 6. And I counted our artists. We have 29 works by 22 artists from 10 communities across Southeast Alaska. And a really exciting thing is it's actually going to go up to Kodiak Island.
Oh, nice.
So we're looking at kind of branching out from Southeast Alaska and growing the program in the future. So.
And that's a program that's going to continue.
That's our hope, yes.
And so if you are interested, if you're an artist and you want to get involved in that, you can probably find out information at jahc.org, right?
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah, and feel free to reach out too if you have questions.
And that'll be up. That'll be opening this Friday. Will we have, are there any Juno artists or other artists from other communities who are going to be there this Friday?
There are, yeah. We have a handful of Juno artists, and I think we have an artist that said that she's going to come over from Gustavus. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, definitely stop by and see. It's a really fun exhibit this time around. I mean, the last one was also really fun too, but it's a really good show. So 4 to 7 p.m. at the Jack, and of course you can pick up your First Friday program there, and you can kind of go downtown and go see some of the other spots. I know we wanted to mention that Kindred Post is doing an event. It's called To Palestine with Love from Southeast Alaska. It's a launch party for a zine created by Juno for Palestine. Contributions from artists and writers across Southeast Alaska and Palestine.
Yeah, and I think it supports Families for Palestine, which is going to be sponsoring some families here from Juneau or
something. It does, yeah. It says all proceeds will go directly to a family that's in Palestine. So come by, learn more, and be part of that community.
That's cool. And so, yeah, and Portable Southeast, is there anything about the art that is, does it I guess it has to be portable in some way to travel
yes.
around the communities. So
yeah.
When you're thinking about it, what are there requirements that the artists have to follow?
There are requirements. So
no glass.
Actually, we do have a couple of pieces that are behind glass. The biggest thing is because of the name portable, each piece has a size requirement. It has to fit in a medium-sized USPS flat rate box. So there's the long skinny ones or the like more box-shaped ones.
Oh, okay.
So it can be 2D or 3D as long as it fits into one of those boxes. And of course, the other thing is that we want artists to submit work that celebrates life on the coast. So that can be, you know, obviously broadly interpreted, but that's the idea, is that we're celebrating living on the coast.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And I notice here too that other First Friday events happening. Sea Alaska is having their First Friday Native Artist Market. That's usually out on the deck there if it's nice. Otherwise,
yeah.
It goes into the little arts campus thing that they have there.
Yeah.
And Hearthside is having an author who's on the show tomorrow with her novel, Taking Time, Sailing with My Family in Southeast Alaska. So we'll talk with...
Oh, good.
I think it's... I'm not sure if it's Larry or Laurie. Laurie Irene Spengler. She'll be on the show tomorrow. And that'll be fun. And you said there's like 16 events, so there's all kind.
Yes.
Oh, singing bowls.
Yes.
Up oh,
at
that's
the
a fun
Holy
one.
Trinity. Yes.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
They're doing a presentation up there at 4:45, and then it looks like we have a couple of locations that didn't participate last month. We have Willow and Luna. There's a pop up going there, and then we also have Amalga Distillery featuring a couple of jewelry artists.
Right, and I do want to mention this one too. Andrea Nelson, who is coming in from Haynes, it's textile taxidermy, and that's going to be up at the Alaskan Robotics Gallery.
Oh, yes, that's right. That should be a really interesting exhibit.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I love that the Robotics Gallery, Alaska Robotics, has gotten in on the First Friday events and is starting. And sometimes the stuff they have is a little you know, like them. It's a little off.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And of course, there's a ton of other stuff. Chloe Kavanaugh's going to be over at Devil's Club.
Yep.
And of course, you can find the full list of events happening at First Friday at jahc.org. There's usually a First Friday button right there on the homepage, which takes you to the listing of everything that's going on. And that's also where you can sort of apply to get a part of this. Like if you have a First Friday event and mm-hmm. you want to be on this calendar,
yes,
then you go there and you can be part of that, and Rochelle will hook you up. What else is happening over at the Jack?
We have a few events coming up through the rest of the month. We have two piano recitals, one on June 13th and the other on June 20th. That features John Hayes the first time and Alexander Tutanov the second time. 7 p.m., tickets are available online and also at the Jack. And then we have another Fresh Air Market coming up at the end of this month. That's going to be on the 28th, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Good opportunity to support local artists and vendors and just get out. And, you know, despite the rainy weather, it's a really good opportunity to go outside.
I even got Girl Scout cookies the last one because they had leftovers. And I was like, I thought the Girl Scout cookies were done. And I scored at the last one because it was
amazing.
It was the same day as the Comic-Con,
yeah,
the mini-con. And over at the museum, and so it was a really nice way. And we started at the at the Fresh Air Market. It was nice and sunny. We popped over to the mini con, and they were like, "Let's go back and finish the Fresh Air Market." And then it was pouring rain.
Of course,
it was like, Juno, you're so lovely.
Yeah,
I love Juno so much.
Yes,
that's so cool. And then the piano series, mm-hmm. Which is John Hayes has been doing that for a number of years now.
He has, yes.
And you mentioned those dates. That's the 13th and the 20th.
Yes.
And those are available at the jahc.org, because that's mm-hmm. a series that you kind of sponsor, right?
It is, yes. So you can get tickets to that through our box office online. You can also give us a call if you're having trouble with our ticketing service or come and visit us, and we'll have tickets available at the door as well.
Okay, cool. First Friday is just coming up so fast for June. It doesn't slow down.
No. This is how we keep track of time, Boston.
Every month.
Every month.
For me, how I keep track of time, Rochelle, is when I have to take the cans out Monday morning for the trash. And
that's
I go,
fair.
Another week has gone by. And then I'm like, yep. Wait, is it 2 weeks because it's recycling? Or I don't know. Then I know how my week is going. That's pretty fun. And again, you mentioned so many cool things. Put another plug in for the Juno Makerspace First Friday Dance, because that's
yes.
sort of a new thing that they've been doing. So it's like, go downtown, go get your First Friday events in downtown, then head over to a little bit into North Douglas, not
yeah.
too far.
Yeah, there's this like a closing event of First Friday.
Ah, yeah, nice. Yep. Okay, yeah. And you can dance until 11 p.m.
That's right.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Again, the full list available over at jahc.org for all the First Friday goodness and every other event that's coming up over at the Jack. Rochelle Bonnet from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you being here today. Good night. Cheese. We'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, it's the 120th anniversary of the State Museum. We have a special preview of a talk happening on Friday. Plus, we chat with the author of the new book, Taking Time, Sailing with My Family in Southeast Alaska. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find the live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Club, Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Gonna cheese. Have a lovely Wednesday, Juno evening.